So we're not wanting to scramble the agenda just for the sake of scrambling the agenda. But there is a word that's been burning on my heart for a while now. And just want to, first of all, say that Rian is not with us. He's actually going to be in Hermanus congregation today. He's going to be part of the team, leading the meeting over there. So just on behalf of him, that's where he's at. And then, he asked us maybe about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, just if the Lord had anything burning on our hearts, we can just share it with him. And I shared it with him, and he felt that there's definitely something that he wants to release. So my prayer this morning is that we'd hear what the Spirit has to say. Don't worry about Yurik. Genuinely, my prayer is that any words that is of God would be rooted within our hearts, and it will bear fruit. And anything that is not of God, fall to the ground, die out, forget about it. We want to move where the Spirit is moving us. Amen. So I'm going to be sharing about, if you want to put a title to it, Living Out the Culture of Honor. And so I want to first of all start off just by saying, like, I thoroughly appreciate the team that I am currently serving on. I think there's many things that God has done in my heart, and particularly in and through the team. So I appreciate, I don't know if you guys ever check when Ruli preaches, I can take those truths and just go so profound and deep into it, and you're just like, yo, never saw it that way. And then I'm sure you've experienced Kevin, his ghost busted a few stuff out of me before. So maybe you've had that, you know. And then of course, Clinton and Enrico now joining us. I call them the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder, hey, yeah. You know, and of course, our fearsome leader, Rian, and Uncle Dave. And I want to say that somehow, God has shaped, molded us together so that we can function not as leaders in terms of the world, but to be able to serve what is the most precious thing to Him, which is you, the bride. So with that in mind, I just want to ask quickly, just pray very quickly. Lord, there is a weight, Lord Jesus, to this morning's meeting, King. But it's never to make us feel condemned. It's to bring us into a place of freedom. An understanding, Lord Jesus, like revelation of who you are. We only see you in part, God, but every time the Holy Spirit brings revelation, we're able to love you and be devoted to you even more deeply. And that's my prayer, God, that we'd see you in the light of who you are. I ask this, King, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're living in a day and age just where everything is about me, myself, and I. And I know we hear this all the time, but it's true. Instagram is about how many followers I can get. I made a joke. I didn't make a joke. Said some stuff earlier, and I realized, like, man, I'm not tech savvy or into the social things at all. Because I said, you can have how many WhatsApp followers? It was like, WhatsApp followers. Anyway, and it's Instagram, it's TikTok, it's Twitter. There we go. And it's all about me, you know. And it's not a bad thing, but it becomes a bad thing where the desire is to be exalted, where the desire is to be famous. And I want to say that, you know, with that, being on the outsides, it can easily creep into the church very quickly without us realizing it. I was telling them a little earlier that, you know, we talk about honor, but truthfully speaking, there's many a times when somebody gets honored and inside of me, I'm sitting over there, I'm going, oh, please, for me as well. Please, I was telling them specifically with the prophetic times. When we have maybe Mervis coming around or Mervis, or just somebody that is prophetic because you know they're going to bring a word. And then they said, no, wear a red t-shirt. And now all the colors. Never ever happens. Always Kev. Always Kev. And I'm like, yo, God, just me one time, you know. And I think it's the Lord sees, man. Kev is a humble man. But the truth about it is, this thing is so sacred to God. Culture of honor. We find it in the Godhead. Father, Ruli was chatting about that. Father pointing to the Son. Son pointing to the Father. Father and Son pointing to the Spirit, Spirit pushing it back to them. And this culture of honor is something that is so important, and it needs to be massaged into us again. So I just want to share with us just a little bit about why we must honor and how important this thing is to God. So quickly, what does it mean to honor? Dictionary says it's to regard or treat someone with admiration or high regard and respect. Romans 12, we're going to get into that now. Just quickly, verse 10 says, outdo one another in showing honor. I mean, that's an amazing thing. It doesn't just say like, hey, honor your brother. It says outdo. You know, when you watch little kids, and you compliment one of them because they're dancing on the song, and there's other little kids, then the next one want to show, watch me, you know. Particularly if you have maybe grandkids, grandparents, you know, like the moment you compliment the other one also wants to show you just how cool they can also dance. And in one sense, they're actually doing that. They're outdoing one another. Maybe not in the honor, but they're learning to outdo one another. And I want to say it must be the same thing in church. When you come to church, there's got to be a part of you that goes like, man, I know I'm needy. All of us are. That's why we're in a relationship with Jesus. Not so that he can solve our problems. But we are needy, desperate people. Lonely, broken, sinful, desperate for Jesus. But with all my need, I still got to look out for my brother and my sister. I still got to show them like, man, church will never be the same if you weren't here. Joel, I love church because you are here. I'm not just saying so. It's not as an example. I'm serious. We love church because we look forward to meeting with people that are like-minded, all of us devoted to God. And so when I come here, like, man, that's the one thing that I want to point to. I want my brothers and sisters to know that what a blessing they are when they're serving and they're devoting their life to God. And so we got to outdo one another in honor. So I'm going to read Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 11, and then I'm going to try to unpack it. I don't like preaching in rulies around because then afterwards he's going to say, what did that really mean, Yurik? But this time I'm going to try. Take the rebuke later. And then Kevin comes with grace. He says, nah, that's okay, bro. Just next time. Just next time, try this. Cool. Let's go. Okay. So in the light of what we've been sharing as a church, the ABCs, Rian has preached in terms of offering up ourselves as a living sacrifice. But the reason why we do it is that part where it says, therefore, he's talking about understanding the gift of salvation and just how blessed we are to be in a relationship with God. So that's why we want to offer up ourselves as living sacrifices, pleasing to God. But I want to take it further, so I'm going to read from verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each one according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Some passages says, or some version says, according to the measure of grace God has assigned. And the members do not all have the same function. We, though many, one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts and differ according to the grace that God has given us, let us use them. If prophecy, prophesy in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, and outdo one another in showing honor. So I want to start off by saying, before I'm even going to honor my brothers and sisters, I've got to learn in my relationship to honor God. Because if I'm going to do it just to my brothers and sisters, it means really, like Tammy would say, I'm putting my hope and my trust in my chariot and my horses. I'm able to do this in my own strength. But more than often, God will take us through a process, particularly with people, where you can't do it in your own strength. When you look at that person and you go like, your God, life would be so lekker if they weren't here. I'm not just saying so, I know you think it. Like, it would be so much easier, Lord, to be, I would love to serve on that leader's team. This one, I don't know, God, if you called him. Truth about it, that's the sort of stuff that we go through. And Lord, this guy, like, how is he even saved? But, you know, those are the things that are truthful in our heart. But the important thing is to know this. Is in the midst of all of that, there's something that God wants to show us. And my prayer is that our hearts would be open today. So how do we honor God? I want to start off by sharing a story with us. Who knows what was the first sin ever committed? It's not a trick question. Just take a chance. Go for the pops. Yo! 10 out of 10. It wasn't murder and it wasn't theft. It was disobedience, dishonor, rebellion in one sense. And we see this happening in two areas. First of all, it happened in heaven. And then it happened on earth. And the amazing thing is that they have exactly the same desire within their hearts. So Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. This, you need to understand, is you've got angels and then you have archangels. So archangels are leaders of angels. And so Gabriel is an archangel of messages. Whenever the Lord has a message, who does he send? Gabriel. Then we have an archangel of war. Who's that? Michael. Yes, so Michael's in the house. You know there's trouble. And then we had an archangel of worship. And his name was Lucifer. Satan, the devil. So these guys carry authority in heaven because God had given them the authority. But Satan wanted to take it a little bit further. Let's read Isaiah 12:14-15. How are you all fallen from heaven? Just listen to the terms that they use for Satan. I mean, he was held in big regard, eh? High regard, sorry, big regard. How are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? How are you cut down to the ground? You laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will descend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Other scripture says, I will make myself like God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Yeah, that one. Let's read it. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Our first sin that we've ever committed was rebellion. The serpent wanted the same authority that God wanted. And when Adam and Eve heard what could happen possibly if you eat the apple, thought like, man, that is something that I desire. I too want to be like God. And you know, we look at that and we go like, yeah, but that's massive. I don't want to be like God. You know that in this day and age, honestly in the world, and maybe for people that are a bit more open to social media, would understand this, that these days they're giving people God-like statuses. So these days, if you're really good music, they're like, yo, he's a God in music. If you're really good in sports, yo, he's a God in sports. And we labeling this thing. And so I'm telling you, in our mind, we look at it like, ah, that is something small because we understand what it actually means. But no, do you know that disobedience to God elevates you, elevates me as a person that is above God? And this thing is so serious to God that, story quickly, there's a King Saul and he's given a specific commission. And his commission is to completely annihilate this one army and destroy everything in it. But he goes and he does half of it. The other half, he keeps the best of the cattle and he wants to present this thing before God. And so God sends Samuel. Samuel rebukes him and he says, what are you doing, Saul? And he makes this excuse. He goes like, hey, like, no, we actually destroyed all the armies so they can't come up against us again. But we kept the cattle so that we can offer it to the Lord. And Samuel rebukes him. And listen to what God, through Samuel, looks at disobedience or dishonor like. 1 Samuel 15 verse 23. So he says to Samuel, maybe start with 22. So Samuel says, as the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to eat the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Witchcraft. I know it's a heavy term, but bear with me. We're going to get to the grace side of things as well. But you need to understand that this is a weighty thing. My disobedience to God, it's like witchcraft. What is witchcraft? It's magic. It makes you think that there's a sense of power that you have, but the end always speaks destruction. Paul uses that same term in one sense when he speaks to the Galatians and he's like, who has bewitched you? You're thinking you're walking in salvation with God, but you're doing your own thing. Guys, I want to tell you that before we're going to learn to honor one another, we've got to learn to honor God in our relationship. You know, Mike Davis, somebody once asked him, Mike, what is the most important thing to do? And I think, even in my own heart, I understood, I think the person was so devoted to the Lord that they wanted to know, how could I become even more close to God? And he responded and he said, the most important thing you need to do for God is the thing that he's been speaking to you about. You know, the heaviest sin that can separate you from God is not murder or theft or robbery. It's the sin that is currently convicting you of. And if you continue to walk in that sin, I'm telling you, you know what was the consequence for the devil? And what was the consequence for Adam and Eve? Exactly the same. It was banishment from God's presence. For Adam and Eve, it was relationship separated, Garden of Eden removed from them, and for the devil, it was from heaven straight down to hell or earth. When we continue in a sin that God is speaking to us continuously about, and we never make repentance or we never make adjustments, it's like we break open witchcraft in our life, and we get bewitched, and we think we're doing okay because we're fulfilling every other thing. I'm coming to community, I'm going to church, but you know what? In the background, I'm running my own business, and I'm putting stuff under the table, I'm not paying my taxes. The Lord's speaking to me about that all the time. Or maybe I'm the most honorable person in church, but the way I'm outside there, like, man, I look nothing like a Christian. And the Lord goes like, hey, this thing, you have to turn away from it. And so I want to say, man, for the sake of your own relationship with God and for the sake of others around you, again, we see that when Satan fell, he took like a third of heaven with him. When you fall, most times, it never just affects you. It can affect your family. It can affect your friends. And so I want to encourage you, like, man, if there's something that God is speaking to you about, the worst sin is the sin that you haven't repented of. Amen. Then it continues. Now, that's between me and God. So, again, I need to make this very clear. I cannot honor my brothers if I'm not fulfilling this relationship. There is grace for it, but I've got to go that way. Then he moves on and he says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to be sober in judgment to the measure of faith or grace that has been assigned. For the body, we have our many members, but all of the members doesn't have the same function. I just want to leave it over there. All of us are a priesthood of believers. All of us. I want to make that very clear. When I stand before God, you're going to be judged according to the grace that God has bestowed upon you. I'm going to be judged for it as well. Not all of us are going to be elders. Not everybody's going to be community leaders. But there's a grace upon all of us that we've got to fulfill in God's kingdom. And so when I'm sharing with this, I want us to identify that in God's kingdom, there is a level of authority. As much as we'd like democracy, democracy was really birthed out of a place where leadership was abused. And people go, no, we all want to be equal. But democracy, we know in church, is demonic. As much as we are all equal, there's still, and I don't like to call it levels. I prefer it to say there's a grace that God bestows upon people. So I'm not an elder because of my great gifting or my eloquent words. I'm an elder because God had given me a grace. Leadership identified it, and they're helping me to walk this thing out. You're a community leader because God graces you for it, because he sees a heart that he can use, and leadership identifies it, and you walk this thing out. You are graced to be a teacher. You are graced to be a preacher. You are graced. You guys get it? It's never established by man. It's not the way the world operates. It's a grace thing. But even in the world, and that's where I'm going to go chat now, even the governments that are in authority, I mean, we think about Hitler. We think about, I don't want to mention names of people that are still living. Do you think about people that are corrupt, eh? And we go like, surely God couldn't have placed that person over there. Let's read what Romans 13 says about it. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that that comes from God. And those that exist has been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities, resist what God has appointed. And those who resist it will incur judgment. That's hectic. That's hectic. I really don't mind. I can submit to a ruler. But if Hitler was alive, I don't know if I'm going to be praying for that guy, to be very honest. Because I look at him as like his action. But actually, and again, I just need to clarify something so that you guys know where we stand. There's no authority that is higher than God and his word. If anything comes against that, I can't, through my conviction, I can't submit to that thing. So if my government is going to tell me, kill your brother, I'm not going to submit to that thing. But what I'm trying to say is, there's a heart behind it where we go, for reverence of my God, I want to honor government as best as possible. I want to honor every authority that God has placed as best as possible, because this thing was in the Godhead first, and now it's part of his order. Amen? Do you guys understand? All right. So quickly, just for us, I want to tell you guys a true story. I struggled for many years with authority. Many, many years. So I grew up, and in my house, politics was rife. I think Tammy would know. My pa was a politician, and he got arrested by the government. At the time, it was apartheid. My dad and my uncle, they rebelled against the government, and they got arrested. But I never experienced that firsthand. I saw these things. So without me knowing, I had developed almost like a hardness to men in authority, particularly white men. Now I love them. Charles, I love you. You know that, bro. Particularly, I'm not kidding. Particularly like white men, like honestly, the moment there's a white guy in leadership, like, man, I struggled, eh? Yo, like, if they would say something to me, my lens was just, it was just blurred. So they would maybe say like, you'll just move that chair a little. I go, you telling me what to do? And they all, literally, they're just telling me, will you move the chair? So I've got this blurred lines that I'm seeing through, and I'm struggling, but I'm in a relationship with the Lord, and the real thing is, like, in my heart, I'm going, I really want to honor my leaders. I genuinely do. Like, I've cried before God, and I'm like, Lord, like, am I seeing things differently? And the heart behind God would always be like, man, are you willing to fight for that freedom? Because some of us become so comfortable in our brokenness that we begin to point like it's the next person. And most times, I'm not saying this is always, because again, if there's a bad leader, and he's leading people astray, Bible says, you know what? It's better to put that millstone around your neck, because you're going to be judged a lot more heavier than the saint. So please hear my heart in it. I'm not backing leadership. I'm saying to stand on this stage means every day I'm living a life where I'm presenting it before the altar, before God. I don't know, maybe the other elders can say, but man, there are times when I go like, can't I just be a saint? Please, God. But then I'm being disobedient to the grace that is given me. And what I'm saying is, in our hearts, some of us, we go, you know, you're a saint, I'm a saint. Like, man, like, I don't have to listen to what you're saying. I don't have to obey you. But in the kingdom of God, it looks completely different. Beautiful example about this is the story of Miriam and Aaron. And that is found in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 to 10. And so we got Miriam and Aaron, and you need to understand, Miriam and Aaron are not just ordinary people. So Miriam is graced as a prophetess and Aaron as a priest. I mean, the whole priesthood came through him, and the Lord asked Moses to speak a blessing over him. And that's where that scripture comes from. May the Lord bless you, make his face shine upon you. You guys know that blessing? It was actually to Aaron originally. And so Moses is somewhere, and they decide, like, man, why must we wait for Moses? And so they begin to murmur among one another, and eventually they make a decision. Hey, God speaks to us as well. And just in that moment, it says the anger of the Lord kindles within him. And he goes, I mean, this is God, eh? So in God's mind, he's going like, I know that you guys are also priests and prophets. But Moses, at this point in time, do you identify the grace on him? And so we all elders, we all leaders, we all saints. But right now, Rian is the leader. And so I've got to identify that he's not a leader because, again, of gifting and those things. This is a call directly from God. And so as much as we saints and we all elders, like my reverence toward Ruli, my reverence toward Kevin, I'm going to have that same reverence towards Rian, same reverence towards Andrew, same reverence toward, what's our president's name? Cyril, sorry man, I hit the blank, I do know him. Cyril, honestly, I do. It's a reverence that I have. So, I do have a reverence. I do. Stay with me. It's not a light thing. It's true. But it's because there is an order that God has established. And again, I'm going to point to it, the Godhead. They're always pointing to one another. If we can look at the perfect thing, you know, sometimes this is what I do. If I can't find a particular scripture, I look at an overall picture. So if I want to know God, how must I love, not just according to what I'm reading, I look at the picture and I think like, yo, God, you really love me. You are willing to give Jesus up for me. So when I look at the overall picture, I look like, look at this, the God, they stay honoring one another. And we'll get to that. God was so angry with Miriam and Aaron in that moment that he said judgment was going to come upon them. Exactly what Romans 13 says. Whoever resists the order of God, judgment will incur upon you. And so he brings all three of them out and immediately he says, listen, story short, the way it goes is Miriam is inflicted with leprosy. However, Moses, being a devoted leader, genuine in heart, he prays and he goes, God, please don't do this thing. And I think for us as leaders, like that really has to be our heart. Somebody's murmuring about me. I don't want to step up in front of them and go, you know, Matthew says you must talk to me first. I want to go like, you know, I'm sorry. Sometimes it's easier to say sorry than to try and win an argument. Amen? And you know, he intercedes on behalf of Miriam and he's like, please God, don't. But the Lord has to show that there's consequence so that the rest of Israel can see how important authority in God's kingdom is. How important the culture of honor is to God. And so he strikes them down with leprosy. Well, just for Miriam. And you know what I got out of that? Is that when we dishonor leaders, when we dishonor one another, the thing that is going to hit you, it's going to hit you personally. Leprosy is something that destroys your own body. So if I've got leprosy, my body is busy deteriorating away. Another thing about leprosy is, Otto, yeah? No? Okay. Another thing about leprosy is you excommunicate yourself. Well, that is what happened in those days because people were scared to be around you. Know what happens when you carry an offense against somebody? You start carrying bitterness inside of you. And when you're in their presence, you just feel like, man, I can't stand this person. And instead of making it right, we carry that bitterness and it eats on us and it eats on us and it eats on us. And then from that, it goes like, if we're in the same community, what do? I want to move community. And what am I doing? Slowly, I'm excommunicating myself. And before you know it, I don't even want to come to church anymore because I've got this thing that is really eating me. And then what's the next word that comes out of my mouth when I'm with other people? Two things normally. They hypocrites. I'm just being real. You guys hear that term before? I want you to know they're not being real. Being rebellious. The way the Lord sees that is witchcraft. And so when I'm in a place and I see people starting to talk about anybody, I used to be a people's pleaser. I used to not say anything because I thought maybe that's okay before God. So when they're saying something about someone, I just go. And then the Lord convicted me. He says, you know, just because you're not saying anything, you're actually still adding to what is happening over there. And I had to come to a point where I said, like, sorry, man. If you haven't spoken to the person, like, really, you can't talk to me about this thing. And I'm not talking about the leadership only. I'm talking about, man, even if a leader speaks ill of another person, the most important thing to God is this. If I'm not guarding this unity over here, man, I'm missing what God wants to do. You know, I was telling you guys, and I don't think I finished the story. So I was saying I struggled in terms of leadership. And I really wanted to see this thing. And I remember very clearly, I think Kevin, I know Kevin was with me. Kevin was the mediator at the time. And I was just struggling with leadership, the bigger overall picture of Josh Jane. And we sat over there and I said, you know, when you said this, talking to the other person, like I really felt that way. And you know, when the person responded, I mean, tears in his eyes, like, I never meant it that way. And so Kevin would then reiterate, like, do you understand? He was like, he actually never meant it this way, that maybe you saw it that way. And I knew in that moment, like, man, God, this freedom that I actually need. I need to be able to see these things. And I laid it before God and I said, Lord, no matter how I feel, doesn't matter how things come across, from now onwards, I'm going to choose to believe the best. And so it didn't matter what leader I'm serving or who I'm serving. Whenever something was said and it made me feel a little ana, I chose in that moment to lay that thing down and I go, love things the best. I'm going to go, God, I really believe this person loved me. And slowly I started finding freedom. That to a point just about maybe 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I was at work and I just wanted to ask my boss something, you know. And his response was like, job. I was like, whoa, you know, like, I mean, a very practical thing. And in me, there was a thing again, like wanting to stand up against this. I felt the Holy Spirit say, get in your car, take a drive. I took a drive just to the shop. And as I drove, he said to me, Yurik, you're a free man. You're a free man. And I read that in Peter. You want to put that one up, Michael? Again, just talking about being subjective to all authorities. And then there's that part where it says, basically what it says is, don't use your freedom to cover up evil. In other words, because I know I'm a free man, doesn't mean I must not go to him and go, who do you think you're talking to? Don't you think I'm also human? It's like I'm using my freedom to cover up my sin. And I love the way it ends. It says over there that, let's just read that one quickly. Live as people who are free and not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to those who are unjust. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. You know, when I read that, when the Lord told me, Yurik, you are free, I suddenly had a revelation of understanding that my heart was healed. My heart was healed in that moment, and it was when I got back to the office, there was no jostling with this, I need to honor you because the Lord says it. It was like there was just a sense of freedom. And suddenly I understood, like, man, when I'm submitting to my authorities, I'm not doing it because the Bible is only telling me to do it. Like, you've been set free. You have choice. Church is never about law. Like, I can't force anybody to follow. I can't force anybody to submit. There's a choice in it. But I have a choice to either cover it up with evil and make excuses and this is why I'm rebellious, or I can take that freedom and that healing and go, Lord, I'm a free man. The reason why I honor Enrico is because I'm a free man. My freedom came from you. And even though I see things differently, I'm going to fight for that unity because of the freedom that you have given me. And I want to encourage you, church. And when you're honoring your brother and your sister next to you, do it because you realize that Jesus paid that price for you. That you're able to love, you're able to honor, you're able to obey because you are free people. Amen. I want to conclude with this. I know it's a little bit weighty, but now I want to bring some like the grace aspect of it. Did I just say some now? Anyway. So we have this picture. All right. Just want to get to that picture. So we need to outdo one another in showing honor. And I want to show you how the Godhead fulfills this. So here's this place, and now you must remember the Jews, like they believe, man, we're children of Abraham, you know. We are safe, we're chosen because of this. And in the midst of that, after Jesus gets baptized, a voice straight out of heaven comes, and he says, you know, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. You must understand that in that moment, it silenced every thought of who this guy is, teacher, prophet, whatever people were saying. And it's not like one of the disciples came to confirm it. It was like God himself making people aware. This man just got baptized. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And he honors Jesus in that moment. And then Jesus in one sense outdo the honor. And we read in Luke 22 that he's about to be taken captive. He's about to be killed. He's about to be beaten to the point of something they say that no human would ever experience. And in that moment, he says to God, Father, not my will, but your will be done. What is he doing in that moment? In that moment, he's out honoring what God has done. In other words, I want to show you, Lord, that I am so devoted to you that I want to honor you. And I want to conclude with this. Romans 8:15 says, by the Spirit, we scream out, Abba, Father. You know, when I judge my brother or my sister, and this is something that we need to understand. I want to give you the picture. So we know that the, really mentioned it, that the helper or the Holy Spirit was sent as a helper. He was sent as a counselor. He was sent as a comforter. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit is only that to us because that is what the Father commissioned him to do. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit fell upon Samson, he ripped a lion's jaw in pieces. When Ananias lied to the Spirit, in that moment, fell dead immediately. Peter said, you're not lying to me, you're lying to the Spirit. When we judge one another, we have this idea that the Holy Spirit is gentle and we're grieving him. God is exercising grace toward us. And he's going, you're talking about your brother and your sister, but you don't see what I see. When I look at Vumpy, when I look at Ruli, when I look at Uum, I see the Spirit of God inside of them. And you feel that you can have the liberty to speak about any brother or sister in your opinion, this is what I feel about them. You know what you're doing in that moment? We grieve the Spirit. And God goes like, man, if you understand what I've done so that you can have the Spirit inside of you, I'm telling you, it's going to take you a lot longer to see somebody in the light of where you're angry and bitter toward them. I'm telling you, because of what God has done for me, it is impossible for me not to love you. I can struggle with it. I can wrestle with it. I can even cry about it. But at the end of the day, somehow I'm going to find the freedom to love you. And I want you to know, like, man, if you're struggling with your brother or your sister, if you're struggling to get to that point of breakthrough where you can love them, the Lord wants you to know, look at them not through your eyes, but see and identify the Spirit of God that is inside of them. You know, the scripture says that God yearns with jealousy. Like he yearns with jealousy to be united with that Spirit that is inside of Ruli. And that's the way the Spirit honors the Father. What does he do? He says, Lord, because you've commissioned me like this, when I'm with a believer and I'm inside of them and they watch pornography, I'm not going to take their life. Even though I'm holy, I'm going to grieve. I'm going to remind them this is not what you're supposed to be doing. When they slander one another, Lord, I'm not going to take their life. I'm going to grieve and I'm going to remind them this is not the way we're supposed to do things. The Holy Spirit is gentle toward us because that's the way he honors the Father and the Savior. But if God is going to start to do something, if we're crying out for revival, what happens is he lifts that and he goes, now I want my fame. Now I want my name to be glorified. And in those moments, it's not going to be okay to slander my brother. In those moments, it's not going to be okay to continue in sin because now God wants to show who he is. And just like that, our lives can be destroyed. So I want to say, God is gracious toward us. But if there's anything in our hearts toward our brother, for our relationship's sake with God, make right. And if we've been speaking ill, not intentionally, maybe we just get caught up in a crowd and a name is mentioned, make sure, like, God, have I fulfilled Matthew 12? Matthew something. And I've made right with my brother and sister. Because at the end of the day, when I'm speaking ill about my brother, I'm defying the very presence of God inside of them. Amen.